And now, it's time for the Dead by Rap Pod with your hosts, Damone Carter, David Ma, and Nate LeBlanc.
Dad Bod Rap Pod. We're back another week. This is becoming way too familiar in our program, but as we circle up today, we are mourning the loss of another hip-hop legend. Of course, you guys know that Biz Markie passed away over this previous weekend. Like everyone, you know, we're crestfallen, shocked, hurt, and also just trying to parse through and uplift the legacy of Biz Markie. My name is Damone Carter. I am joined by the bros, Nate LeBlanc. What's happening, man?
Oh, you know, it's a rough time. Seeing that image of Chuck D holding up the whiteboard with the people who've passed since December 2020, yeah. Nine prominent hip hop figures, and that doesn't include like people like photographer Chimodu. Like it's just right. Like there is a. It just feels wrong that we're losing so many people who are so important to the culture's international growth and what we think of as hip hop today, the people who formed this, yes. And whose art is so important to all of us personally and just as a culture. It just really sucks.
Yeah, it definitely does. And unfortunately, you know, fortunately, we have a space to kind of process this. Dave, your piece in NPR was a great obituary, so I want to shout you out for that. Yeah, how's it going, man? How you kind of dealing and processing? It's one thing to like deal with it, but you actually had to like churn out a piece about it,
right?
Which I was kind of thinking like that has to be tough, no?
It was tough. I've gotten a few very nice emails regarding that. And my response has been like, that's the one thing I've written that I wish was never published, you know? Yeah, you mentioned crestfallen earlier, and I think that's definitely the overall sentiment. I mean, you know, we're talking about one of the most outwardly celebratory humans ever. So yeah. for that to sort of go away, I think crestfallen was the word. And, you know, just the fact that we've had to play with these emotions already with the dubious announcements of its death. Yeah. And so, yeah, man, I it's been a rough time. And to Nate's point, seeing that picture that Chuck posted, I mean, it doesn't get more real than that.
Yeah. It's definitely... you know, concerning in a way. And I mean, it's not as if all of these tragic losses necessarily have a thread through them. You know, people have passed away for different reasons, but it just goes to show how in a culture that is still probably underdocumented and underappreciated as an art form, mm-hmm. it makes it all the more urgent, right? I think about the passing of Biz Markie and like, in some ways is our job to help those who, you know, weren't around.
Right. Right.
Or people in the broader culture who are like, yeah, he was on Yo Gabba Gabba.
Well,
like,
even the headline to the obit that I wrote was like, just a friend rapper dies.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like, how more reductive can you fucking be? But I also get that it's for a general audience, but I totally get your point.
I'll say this about that. It's if you have to have one hit, it's such a great song that like it's good thing to be remembered for. It's not like I'm trying to think of a real one hit wonder, like it's not coming together for me for my joke, but it's not like you know, I'm like, what's just a bad song? It's not like Ice Baby rapper dies,
yeah, right?
It's like it is a great song. It means a lot to people. It's kept alive in the culture. It really does give you the best of Biz. Like it's good mm-hmm. rapping. It's a well structured story. It has his crazy off kilter singing. The video's amazing.
Right.
It has like, you know, little details like when the guy makes him fill out the visitor's form. Like
it's
not just the chorus. I don't know.
I totally agree with you.
People like love that song because it's such a great song and it's like truly transcended hip hop and become a pop culture phenomenon. But I hear you. It's like
fully agree with you. But I, you know, if the headline when Vanilla Ice dies, Ice Baby rapper dies, I'm okay with that. You know what I mean?
Also, yeah. also, because you know this is what I bring to this program. That will not be the That will not be his headline. He will be Vanilla Ice. Iconic white rapper passes away.
How about artist Biz Markie dies, and then you go into it?
Yeah, iconic rap artist. Right. So it's one of those things, and this comes into play, I think, with a lot of rappers from the 80s, is that they kind of get just tagged with where they peaked pop culture wise. But Biz was so much more than that. So we definitely want to kind of get into that. And like what I've been thinking about is his place. In terms of like the Clown Prince is used a lot, but in terms of developing a hip hop sense of humor, I think he is kind of foundational in that he brought that kind of front and center. Dave, you touched on this in the obit at a time when everybody was kind of tough and, you know, braggadocio. He could make fun of himself. He was 100. He was silly. He was goofy, but also still the party rocking dude. And so I kind of feel like when we see rappers today who can be humorous and kind of bring that energy, I think everybody kind of owes a debt of gratitude to Biz in that regard.
I don't know if you guys know this or if you've like looked at this, but I was noticing it like when I was looking through my Biz records over the weekend. Side one, song one on Going Off is Picking Boogers.
Boogers.
Yeah. It's like that. It's like the first thing. I mean, he was kind of known for beatboxing and the Roxanne Shanté stuff,
and
like a couple of other things. But like when you're putting together your album,
you
the
lead
first
with
thing
that.
You want to do. That song was, of course, famously written by Big Daddy Kane. There was a time when Biz was still developing as a writer. He became a pretty good rhyme writer later in his career. But at that time, and I want to give a shout out to. Jack Splash of Plant Life, who tagged us on Twitter a few weeks ago and said he was enjoying finally having his kids old enough to be able to teach them about hip hop. And one of the things that he was showing them was stuff like Biz Markie and Big Daddy Kane. Mm-hmm. And specifically, he was like, people should talk more about their friendship. And I would say it's kind of an unlikely friendship on the surface, right? Like Big Daddy Kane, probably coolest guy in the world at that point.
Right.
And then coolest playboy. This like just huge personality. Someone who was unafraid to like get into like bodily functions and just like be vulnerable and to dance and to bring like this huge sense of like showmanship. Where Kane was just like this lethal rhyme writer.
Right.
His music's not particularly fun. And when he kind of tries to, it's like,
yeah. Agreed. Well, it just goes to show you how great an artist like Biz Markie was at capturing the fun energy of the 80s. You mentioned Picking Boogers. And that was, I think, my first time hearing Biz Markie. I have an older auntie who's probably, you know, early 50s. And I remember I was staying with them in Seattle. And she was going to the Big Daddy Kane concert that was in town. And I remember thinking it was a big deal. And she was like, listen to this. And I was like, oh, it's about boogers.
You know, we talk about Mount Rushmores a lot, right? Mount Rushmore of MCs, right? How about hip hop cultural figures? Where do you guys think Biz lands on that? Obviously not from an MC point of view, not rapper. Not,
as a personality.
But everything we're talking about. Everything that he encapsulates, you know, being the eternal big kid, you know what I mean? Like, where does he fall for you guys on the Mount Rushmore?
That's a great question.
Pretty high for me. Love Biz Markie, man. Like, I've just spent so much time listening to his music. I think he's underappreciated as a loop digger, as a producer, as an all-around package. And it's funny, you know, I think it's tough to talk about this stuff without talking about Slick Rick. And they're very much contemporaries. I would put probably Slick Rick, and then like if we're going into the future a little bit, maybe a Ghostface.
Please, that's what I was gonna say.
On that Mount Rushmore, and then we have one slot yet to fill. I'm sure it will come to me as we're talking here. But like I have always thought Biz Markie was weirdly underrated because he's so funny.
Exactly.
His music's really good.
Right. It's so easy to dismiss people just because they're funny. It's like the comedian doing the serious role. Hey, Bill Murray's the best, dog. You know what I mean? Yeah, but to easily dismiss him at first just because he cracks some jokes. And yeah, definitely to your point, Nate.
I would agree. I think with Biz, you have to consider his hip hop body of work. So not only was he the progenitor of a lot of people learning how to beatbox and bringing beatboxing to the forefront. He's an amazing DJ. He can freestyle. He had character and energy in an era. He stood out in an era where you had to have character and energy. You had to have some kind of iconic voice in to even be taken seriously. And then he had this very interesting post-career, not post-rap career, but once his kind of releasing of albums kind of died down, he still remained a super relevant cultural figure through his DJing. I know he was like on some couple of TV shows. It's America. That's
right. Celebrity Fit Club. Yo Gabba Gabba is a later high mark, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. The connecting with the kids in a different way. Right. And like not too many figures are as beloved. So I would say if we're doing a beloved kind of hip-hop Mount Rushmore, Biz is definitely on it right up there with Snoop. And, you know, just the most, you know, nobody would have a bad word to, even if he hadn't passed, nobody has a bad word to say about Biz Markie.
Right. Like, nobody just beats him. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It is kind of funny, similar to like after Doom passed, then after, like, you know, everybody mourns publicly. There's a big Twitter thing. And then people were like, he did kind of steal $40,000 from my company, but it was Doom, and I don't care. And
right, he's a villain.
Him, right? And so I just want to say, and these are not my stories, but there are so many great Biz Markie stories. There's a Soul Strut thread of his stories. If you guys need to Google that if you were not around in the Soul Strut days. And like the site has been all redesigned, and it looks weird to me looking at it in this format now because I was on there that day when this was all happening, and it's so funny and so great. But like he'll steal your cassette. It's in the Beastie Boys book. Mike D asked Biz for some kind of like, he's like, I played you that tape, remember? And then Biz just goes like, if you don't got it, I probably got it. Just like a very, very like lovable, irascible way of saying, yes, I did steal that.
I jacked
it. Totally.
I don't know where it is, but I did steal it.
He's like so your dumb. Older brother's like cool, funny friend. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah.
That inadvertently teaches you so much shit. And, you know, it's so funny, again, to just be dismissive because he's like the clown prince. But the clown prince also is like an expert collector. And, you know, the world of collecting in hip hop is obviously huge. You know, I mean, he's like the hugest sneakerhead, but also he collected stories about Beanie Babies. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Beanie Babies, lunch boxes,
such an toys. Obsessive, such an obsessive, and just so true to
himself. And when you say culture, right? So like when we think about hip hop culture, which all that ephemera kind of runs through at different points, there might not be a greater cultural figure if you think about when he came along, the different places that he's shown up, and just, you know, the outpouring. You know, Twitter, you know, I think online can be a little bit fake sometimes. I'm like, you've never heard a Biz record, like stop. It just goes to show how large of an imprint he made as an artist, where people who kind of don't really know what's going on still feel like they need to,
because they heard Just a Friend.
They need to be performatively jumping out in front of it. So I you know, I'd like to get to a day where we're not doing necessarily this segment.
Right, dude. Every few weeks, it seems. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, it's
and it's especially difficult for somebody who just exuded so much joy. I mean, he personified joy. You know what I mean?
That's a great word.
I would just like to say, like, it's kind of, this is a bit more difficult than it seems because some of Biz's best work is not on streaming due to very famous and precedent-setting issues. But if you can, go listen to I Need a Haircut and All Samples Cleared and listen to them as 80s rap records. And then show me like 10 80s rap records that are better than that.
Totally.
You know what
I
mean? It's just like, this is something I've always thought about Biz Markie, and it's something that would probably bother me about a different rap artist, but I've always loved about him. He has a couple of what I would consider like lyrical crutches that he leans on. It's like he could go a 1-2 like at any time he needs to get to the next thing, he can spell his name in the way with the emphasis.
Exactly.
Anytime. And like it just, it never got old for me. Like I'm right, listening right. to Biz Markie rap, and I think his story songs are really where it shines. Dave, I know you know this one, What Comes Around Goes Around.
Of course.
It's like, it's kind of like a cousin to the Vapors. Like a yes. lot of mm-hmm. Biz's best songs are mm-hmm. about him like holding it over people that he got famous and successful.
Totally.
This one in particular is about him like finally being able to get girls once he got famous. Yeah. It's such a good song.
It's such a good song. His
there's
aesthetic.
Kind of an acidic current to it. It's like he's like straight up throwing it in people's faces, like, ha ha.
Yeah.
Totally. It. So totally. Great. It's so great. His aesthetics as well, cover album, like the cover art to stuff. I mean, yeah. just behind you, like the Make the Music with Your Mouth 12 is like totally. One of the illest things ever totally. From the font to him jumping over TJ Swan. You know what I mean?
Totally.
To him making faces to all of that.
Biz is going
with
off.
The beaker.
Cover is like,
I mean,
one of the illest covers. Like it's just such beautiful design. And like, it's cool because it's in Going Off is literally he's in a funhouse mirror. And so you get this metaphor to describe his kind of warped comedic sensibility for the rest of his career moving forward. And it's just, he's just such a great artist. And like, I'm glad that people are celebrating him. And if we can dip into this for a minute, I'm just so pissed off that Twitter tried to kill him. 3 weeks.
I know.
Prematurely.
I know.
Yeah.
I was just talking to Nate about this, and we were texting each other as soon as the news broke, and Nate was like, I felt like I kind of mourned already. And there's a sense of unfairness to that, to everyone involved. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I don't know if it's necessarily like malicious. I think it's just like a part of internet.
It's a weird like necrophilic clout chasing.
Definitely.
Like, folks are definitely trying to be the first to break the news of something. As do you get an award for that? Does anybody go back and be like, probably. Oh, hip, you know, this site broke it first? I don't know.
Right.
But I don't like the impulse, and it kind of brings back to me the bitterness that I feel is like, these figures only become super important when they pass.
Right.
And I don't celebrate
their life, not just notate their death.
Exactly. They should not be notable. Exactly. And I feel like with rap, especially, we get too much of that. I think that's a reason why Notorious B.I.G. looms so large in pop culture because he died. You know what I mean? He died young. And I hate that energy around rap that, what is it? You're nobody till somebody kills you. Like, you're not,
right.
You're not, that's what makes you legendary. And so we're going to keep doing this program to kind of hold up, you know what I mean? People that just deserve to get their flowers while they're living. We're committing to trying to do a better job of that. RIP Biz Markie, Dead Bod Rap Pod. Now, what was I to do? She's crying over me and she was feeling blue. I said, no. Now, what was I to do? She's crying over me and she was feeling blue. I said, no. All right, y'all. This program has been a journey. We are 179 episodes deep. And maybe the funnest part about it is there's just this mega thread that Nate, Dave, and I are on. And then Dave goes, corrupt at 6:30. And you're like, what? Like, the corrupt? And yes, it is. It's corrupt. We had a chance to talk to him. And I was really excited about it because, you know, we have a particular wheelhouse on this program, right? Like, you're going to hear us mention E-Don 100 times. We're going to tell you need to go get Arm & Hammer. You know, we're going to talk to any old school legend we can talk to. But there are this handful of figures, and I think Corrupt is one of them, who move seamlessly through worlds of rappity rap all the way to the highest levels of what the most popular forms of rap music have ever been. You're talking about somebody who had, you know, standout appearances on the fucking Chronic. So it was great to spend some time chatting with him. Nate, he seemed to kind of like you. I don't, I don't know what that was about.
Well, I'm going to take this time to announce my retirement from podcasting and hip-hop in general because Corrupt called me Nate Dogg.
That's yeah. right. Knighted. You got
yeah.
knighted.
Yeah, I got knighted.
Knighted.
Oh. Right there. Yeah, it's yeah. while we were still talking to Corrupt, I pulled out my phone and texted a homie I was like really tight with in junior high, and I was like, well, aha.
Yeah.
Nate Dogg. Never thought that would happen. Anyway, I was super, super into the whole Dog Pound, G-Funk. Like, it's just like, I talked to Corrupt a little bit about this. I'm like, I am one of the suburban white kids who fell in love with gangster rap, and it didn't ruin my life. You know, it's just like, yeah. it's just a kind of music that I really like. I spent a lot of time listening to it in my formative years, and I still think about what that means because it's very dark, it's very violent, it's very misogynistic. Mm-hmm. It kind of represents things that I don't represent in my normal life, but if there's like some hip-hop karaoke, better get right. the fuck out of the way. I know every single word to every single one of these songs, and they're great, great songs musically, lyrically, and just like, it's one of, as Damone put it eloquently, the pinnacles of rap and hip-hop culture. So just shocked to be in this situation, sitting in this chair talking to someone like this. Really enjoyed talking to him, and Dave, you set all this up. Anything again. You want to bring in here?
Yeah, you know, it's always good for us, or it always has worked out well when we touch base with these sort of legends at this juncture in their career.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not like I'm checking for every Corrupt, you know, mixtape that's come out since fucking The Chronic, but it's really nice to hear Kendrick give him props. You know, it's really nice to hear media sort of give him props. And then when he's sitting in front of us talking, that's always that's always like the cherry on top of the cherry. And for him to be just sort of so nice and so open with his stories. I mean, he pulled out his cat in front of us and started petting. I mean, he was smoking blunts in front of us. It could not have felt more like we're kicking it with Corrupt. You know, I mean, maybe if we were in a 6-4 Impala or something.
Yeah, that's the only way.
The only other equivalent interview we ever did was MC8.
I was just gonna say
this has a slightly different energy. MC8 is very much the OG,
right?
And like spoke with like this really like a sense of authority and finality. Mm-hmm. And Corrupt is an MC.
Yeah,
and he talks about rapping because he's talks a about rapping ass rapper. And this, right. I'm not going to ruin this story for you guys, but there is a story in here about Snoop kind of directing him on a very famous verse that will blow your mind. It's so great.
That was such a great interview. It's so great to get these guys on, and they're forthcoming with us. You know, and who would have thought if we got in front of Corrupt, he would just tell us a Snoop Dogg story. By the way, they call Snoop Dogg Snoopy.
Yeah, so, which you shouldn't. If you roll up on Snoop, I think you should address him as Mr. Snoop, Mr. Doggy Dog, not Snoopy. But it's just great to be kind of in proximity to someone who was a part of one of the most iconic eras in rap history. Really what has taken rap to being the multi-cajillion dollar business that it is was the G-Funk era and all of that. So we're super excited to have him on. We nerded out a bit. The Four Horsemen project, which has been long delayed and talked about with Corrupt, Cannabis, Killer Priest, and Razzcast, is out right now. So you should definitely check for that. But here it is, our interview with Corrupt, Dad Bod Rap Pod. Dad Bod Rap Pod. Every week we have interviews with people who have moved and shaped hip hop culture. This week is no different. Joining us in Zoom, we are talking to Corrupt. What's happening, man?
Oh man, you know, life is good. God is good, and enjoying this game right now. It's been a long time since I've had an opportunity to enjoy the game.
Okay.
I'm enjoying it right now. It's a great thing.
That's great, man. So we're going to get into what the new stuff you got coming, but I wanted to take it back and talk about your debut on Wax, which I didn't know until today was with the SOS band. Can you talk a little bit about how that came together? You got three joints on a SOS band album from 91. How'd that come about?
Wow. Good job. I was just a baby. Good job. That's the first record I was ever on in my entire life was with the SOS band. They took me in, man. They wanted a rapper on their project, and they didn't want a known rapper. They wanted somebody fresh and new, is what they said. And my management at the time, Lamont Broomfield, chopped it with their folks and said, I got the best rapper in Los Angeles. I said, okay, we'll bring him in. I came in, we knocked down, it was actually two records on there.
Okay.
Someone in Love, and there was another one. Someone in Love, I think, was the second one I did. The first one was the other one. And when I did the first one, because I was only supposed to do one, they was like, this boy good.
Okay.
Good. We got another one. You think you can get on that too? I said, oh, yeah. And they were like, bam, they brought it out, Someone in Love. And then I knocked him down. And they was like, okay, yeah, you wasn't lying. He's the best we've heard that we haven't heard.
That's dope. And you were 16?
I was 16 years old. No, I was 17 because I moved 17. To play when I was 16. I was 17 years old because I was still in high school.
Wow. That's crazy.
Wow, that's right. Crazy.
Losing. Oh, yeah. Hawthorne and going to losing. I ain't even moved to South Central yet.
Damn.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yep. Well, you know, I just want to sort of moving forward in the chronology of your career. We all know the history with Death Row, like you got on there and then you left and then came back. But I want to focus on when you were 19 and were on Death Row. How did that happen? And how did that feel, man, just being 19 and just being a part of that whole thing?
Well, you know, you had to earn it. So I wasn't on Death Row. I was given the opportunity to be on Death Row. When I first linked back up with Snoop after the Roxy, he was signed to Death Row. First member signed Death Row was Rage and Snoop.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Rest of us was just, you know, we was just in the bucket of artists they was looking to sign. And, you know, their method is crazy because you could have lost your mind coming out on a Chronic unsigned. We was unsigned when Chronic dropped. But there's no place we wanted to be. You know, when it ain't broke, why fix it? Right. So, I mean, shit. You know, being that young, 19 years old, I just wanted the mic. I really wasn't giving a fuck about the money. I just wanted the mic. And my main goal was to be respected as an MC. I wanted people to say that that's one of the best MCs that I've ever heard. So that was my whole goal. You know what I'm saying? Not to be a star or anything else, but respect as an MC. So it was pretty wild when you're driving down the street and then somebody pulls up. I was on Van Ness Century. And somebody pulled up, banging, stranded on Death Row. And I just looked over at him, like, that's me. Hey, that's me, cuz. And I looked at him and he just banged on me. What's up, nigga? Boom. What's up, blood? And I was like, what's up? And he was like, nigga, and then drove off. And I'm thinking to myself, like, damn, he banging my shit, cuz he don't even know it's me. Cause I wasn't known, you know. And I was like, damn, they banging my shit though. I said, I'm a star. Oh wow. Oh my god, they playing my shit off the Chronic. Then Shug came with the deal. I said, you damn right, let's go. I ain't even have to read the motherfucker. I didn't give a fuck. Let's go. That's where I'm at. Nigga, how could I? Fuck. Ain't nothing else but up. I'll deal with any problems later, man. Look, this is the only place I want to be. So I'm very excited. Extremely excited. Hearing myself and people just loving my lyrics and loving this artist called Corrupt, They didn't even know it was me. That was weird, but very, very exciting. Blew my mind. I'm glad I didn't lose it, though.
Absolutely. So slightly different from the encounter you just described. I am a 13-year-old white kid in the San Jose suburbs loving your music, right? Like, so I want to ask you in particular about...
Why are you so much bigger than me, man? I'm about to be 49 in November. Everybody's bigger than me. is it the chicken?
Rice. It helps. So I want to ask you in particular about Ain't No Fun. All right. Classic song, iconic song. Do you think it's your best known verse or your best known work to this day? Or do you think that's just like one of many things you were a part of?
No, you're absolutely correct. That's my number one bar over everything I've done in my entire career. If Corrupt gave a fuck about a bitch, I'd always be broke. My number one line. So that's the entire world knows that over all my material. And it's crazy, it's timeless. And Snoop is the key to that because I'm an MC. I was just an MC. All I wanted to do was destroy MCs. When we first made it, right, because we was on Vinton, if I'm not mistaken, in Culver City, at Snoop's house. Daz made the bass line and the drums, so he already had the blueprint. Then we went in the studio. Dr. Dre loved it. He added all the other magic, the bass line and the keys. But Dr. Dre added the which was the key to the record.
Right.
Daz and Dr. Dre, amazing. And keys on there, Superfly, if I'm not mistaken, with them keys. That when Superfly came, yep, that was it, Superfly. And when it came on, Snoop like, what you got, Corrupt? Because we finna lay it, we in the big boy. And I was like, yeah, boom, boom, boom. I'm like, okay, boom, boom. All right, check it. Boom, 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 boom. Yeah, boom, boom. MCs I assassinate anytime they want. Dog said, whoa, whoa, wait, hold on, wait, Corrupt. Like, hold on. He's like, look, guys, I mean, you can't kill rappers and MCs and your verses all the time. You gotta feel the beat. Sometimes, Corrupt, what you gotta do is, right, you gotta rap about things people can relate to. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you with your homies out there in L.A., I mean, what they do every day. What did you do every day? Oh, shit. Yeah, rap about cars like 6'4 Chevys and dipping down the street. Or rap about a bitch or something. Or something they can relate to. Just kill everybody. All the time. I was like, well, what do you mean? He was like, wait, Nate, what you got? And Nate said, when I met you last night, baby. Okay, well, opened up your gap, and we all just started laughing. Nate was saying, and she was like, "Man, lay that. That's it right there." So Nate laid his, and then I got it. And he was like, just chill out. You ain't got to always yell. I was like, for real? He's like, well, just be yourself. Just chill. I said, okay. And that's when I wrote it.
Oh, man.
Nate finished his, and he was like, what you got, Corrupt? And then I started, well, if Corrupt gave a fuck about a bitch, I'd always, he said, stop, go lay it. Let me hear him.
Yeah.
And I laid it. The dog was like, you look up and then you see everybody like, that gives you more confidence. So then you you add the extras onto it because you see everybody like it. That was the method.
Mm-hmm.
So Snoopy's the one who calmed the nigga down. And then I hit him with that and the biggest record I made of my career because I ain't even got to finish it. That's all I got to say. If Corrupt gave a fuck about a bitch, I'd always get broke. Stop and just look at people. Damn.
Right.
Everybody says it. So that was the one. You're absolutely correct. Absolutely correct, Nate.
Damn.
Nate Dogg. That's dope.
Nate Dogg. Nate Dogg Jr. over here.
I mean, you hear me?
Yes, I hear you. Thank you.
Oh, that's dope. I'm gonna switch gears a little bit. You spoke about being an MC, and that's what you wanted to be. And I remember one of the dopest, most unexpected features that I heard from you was when you work with Slum Village. Can you talk about how that track came together? And you know, you was in there riding the beat too. Can you talk about just kind of how that came together? And but did you know about JD? Like, what was the science behind that?
Well, I just signed my brother to Priority, and my brother Roscoe. Mm. And Priority just did a deal with Capitol Records. So Philifornia was out, and they did the deal with Capitol Records. Slum Village was over there, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
It was through that Capitol Priority game. That, you know, Slum Village was brought to the table, if I'm not mistaken. And then I flew to Detroit to knock down the record. And that's when I met, you know, all the killers. Mm. I just did a show for the Horsemen, and one of my homies from Slum Village was there and performed at the show at our release party. He performed and rocked hard. Just reminded me of those times when we did Stop. You know what I'm saying? That was it was different for me, but yeah. It was classic because J Dilla, Slum Village whole album was off the charts.
Yeah.
And I was a fan because they played the music for me, Capitol. It was like, you know, this is one of our artists, right? I mean, one of our groups. And I was just like, damn, it was different. It wasn't gangster. It wasn't, you know, backpackish. It wasn't this, it wasn't that, it wasn't East Coast, it wasn't West, it was different. And the beats was just cracking, just like that first single they had. Y'all remember that first single from there?
What was that? Was that Climax?
No, Careful, something like, what did they call it?
Off the first record?
Oh, that shit was so banging. I was on the first record. That was the first record.
Yeah, that was the first record.
Right. You know what I'm saying? And stop. But that first record, True Love or something like that. Real, what was it called?
Oh, you think about Tainted.
Tainted. Oh, yes. God. Because they played that. I said, what the fuck is this? And I said, oh, what the fuck is this? Man, that's when I met Jay Rice, Big Rice, his son. Mm. Ooh, yeah, heaters. And that's how that connection was. But Slum Village, though, that was a real big thing to me because it was outside of my little circle. And to, you know, respected by the Midwest, Detroit. You know, my brother Chris Weber from Detroit, so... You know what I'm saying? Jeff Weber. So that was exciting right there. Like Slum Village, you know, they really didn't care about your clout or your stature. You know what I'm saying? They was more along the lines of if they respected and liked you for your craft. They rather that than have the biggest artists on there. They'll fuck with a nobody who they like their style. You know what I'm saying? And they like Corrupt Style. That's how I got on that project. They requested me, and I was like, wow.
That's dope, man. That's dope.
Well, I'll be there.
You know, we're sort of jumping around your career a little bit, and you mentioned earlier about being the best MC from LA, and, you know, that makes me think of Kendrick, and I know that Kendrick has mentioned you as... he cited you as being one of his biggest inspirations, and I wanted to know sort of what your thoughts are on Kendrick, as well as like, how does it feel to like be inspiring a different generation now?
You know, that's a great thing to me to be even put in that category. You know, I still feel young, and just the other day, let me know how original that I am, the love that people give a nigga. Like, you know, you never know you're making history because you're making it, or when you're making it. But the history is real in depth. And, you know, when Kendrick made it, because you know I've been fucking with him since he was K-Dot. Terrace Martin brought him to the table with J-Rock.
Mm-hmm.
And those was the main ones who deserved the credit. Well, J-Rock deserved the credit for Kendrick. J-Rock was the one who was in depth with Young Lamar. You know what I'm saying? With K-Dot, you know, J-Rock was the one who groomed that killer. You know what I'm saying? And then he came over and started fucking with Terrace. And Terrace brought, you know, Kendrick to me. And that's when I learned his love for me, where he said, you know, my formula and my format, you know, was inspired by you, of all people. And I'm like, that's how I felt, like, of all people, Gotti, you know. The cliches crack a lot. A lot of people would say the names that's on top. So when he did Control and he used bits and pieces of my rhymes in it and he gave it up for me, a lot of people was like, they ask him, like, who's your inspiration? Like, well, Grupp. And a lot of people like, who? Well, don't you mean Tupac or Ice Cube or something like that? No, Grupp. You know, they were shocked. And I'd be like, damn, you know. And they get a little bit of love and motherfuckers just like, are you mistaken? I mean, you know, because everybody, you know, says the number ones, but Kendrick kept it real, and that's very different, you know, for somebody to keep it as solid as he has. You know, Kendrick, one of my greatest that I love of the new generation, but Drake really took me on a spin to be able to make records like he does and be on that page, but still can satisfy the mic because he's vicious on this mic. And I was like, Drake is the shit. And then I revamped on Kendrick's album like a half a year ago. And I was dead, like, damn, man, my killer is really like, he's the best of his generation. He's literally the best. You know what I'm saying? Like, wow, the underdog. And that's the key. When Dr. Dre first took a liking to him, and he had that show and we all showed up for him, and tears came down his eyes. And that reminded me of when I got accepted and tears came down my eyes.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? The things that people were saying about me. It's just like reliving it again, seeing an out-of-body experience. And so, you know, I mean, wow. To have the new generation give me that type of respect, I felt like I was Snoop or Tupac or Jigga or Biggie or Pac or something. I'm like, what? What?
That's dope, man.
Yeah, that was exciting.
That's dope. I was wondering if we could talk a little bit about Blackout. I listened to it again today, and I was just struck by how many different kinds of beats that Quick brought to the table. They have the Moroccan joint. They have like the kind of like science fiction electro joint. Like, did you pick from a wide variety of things, or did he kind of present beat packs to you, or how did you guys collaborate on that album? How'd you end up getting there?
Well, you know, my thing with making records is I'm a great follower. You know, that's what lets me know what direction we're going. As long as I know the direction, my pen is impeccable. You know, with no direction, 9 times out of 10, I'm going to go to the mic.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, Snoopy and DJ Quick and Dr. Dre, they give that direction. And that direction is the key to Corrupt. You know what I'm saying? So with Quick, I just followed his lead. Every aspect of the game. I mean, what am I going to tell Quick?
Right.
DJ Quick, of course. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, with me, the producer is the key to me. You know, the producer leads the way. Now, I'm not talking about a beat maker. I'm talking about somebody that can make a bomb beat. I'm talking about somebody that produces. That means he comes with the music. He comes with the direction. He comes with everything that an MC of my caliber needs to bring the best out of me. Subject matter is not my key, because every time my only subject is the mic.
Right.
Okay, what are you feeling this, Corrupt? Do you really want to know? No, I don't. I already know. Okay, so we're going to talk about this. Oh, perfect. Now give me an example. Wop, wop, the bink, pop, boop, got it. I'm gone. You know what I'm saying? And that's the key, which actually, you know, being that follower helps me to lead my program. Mm. It got me to the point where I got to Battle Cat. But when I was in with DJ Quick, we already had a rhythm from Space Boogie, Can't Go Wrong with Butch. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, Quick did that record right there for me. And so, you know, the parade was launched, as you can hear him all over the mic on that. And that's what Quick wanted. So he still gave me the direction on there. He's like, man, be corrupt. Go where you want to go. I said, okay. Yeah. Good job. Butch, let's go. Bang. Good job. Where for Blackout was more like, where are we going, huh? Okay, yeah. We're going to go here. Okay, we're going to go there. And then he played one beat that just blew my mind. Well, two beats, two records he played that, you know, they blew my mind from the door. And I probably can feel it in those records. One was 9 times out of 10. Mm. And that's why Unc gave me the bulk of that, because that beat brought that guy out. And Unc was like, bam, okay. We following your lead now, Club. Mm. Then there was Appeal. And Appeal just, you know, boom, 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 boom. That beat right just took me away to my lyrical form on another page, mm. which is telling that story. So those two was the ones that I was corrupt on that. The other ones, I was corrupt with direction.
Okay.
The DJ yeah. Quick direction, especially Do You Know. You know, like, oh my God, do you hear that? Now, I did go crazy with it, but it's all the direction of the beat. I already knew where to go. He already had the hook on there. Boom. I was like, ah, okay. I know exactly where we're going. This one. Bow! So, yeah, you know, Quick was the direction of the album. And he gave me Time to Shine on two that I led the parade in.
That 9 times out of 10 is incredible, man. Like, just great song.
Blew me away. I heard those drums. I said, what the shit is this? He didn't even put a bass line on this thing, man. Just a drum. I said, hold it. I got it. When it stops, 9 times out of 10. And play with them words. 9 times out of 10. Again. Step with again. When, woo.
Yeah, man. Oh,
just fine. Just fine.
Man. So you've gotten to work with some of the greatest producers in the game. You've been a mentor to rappers. And you've had this project that we've been hearing about, like one of the greatest mystery projects, the Four Horsemen, which is out. Can you talk about that project and kind of the road it's taken from when you guys first came up with the concept to the music dropping?
Well, no, we're 20 semi years in the works with that project.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The reason why we never could complete, because we get halfway through and they get leaked.
Ah.
It came out with the Horseman project, which really wasn't the record. Just came out the blue, which took us back. And then, you know, we got our regular lives. So, yeah. You know, in our own careers. So we tried to do this and still do our regular careers and live our regular lives. And that was the delay. Because after all that hard work, and it's leaked, which took steam, out of the steamboat. And everybody got back into their regular things. And then we tried to come back again, but by that time we was all on a roll with our regular things.
Mm.
And then this time, you know, Raz took the initiative, Eminem 80, and just, you know, took the most recent records that we've made, no one's heard, and racked up some of our originals and put together the project. And, you know, it was a success. I mean, the way they organized it, Raz did the organization of this, putting the verses where they need to be on these new beats. Mm. That was perfect. And just wow, 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 wow. You know, he Dr. Dre that, put that all together right there. And, you know, I give my hats off to Raz for his dedication to it. That's what it required in order to make it work. You know, all the tools were there to use to make that machine. But somebody had to take the time out to put it together. So Raz did that, and then made it. We love the project, and then from there, we all put our heads together on how we're going to release it to the people and let them know that this is real and not another bootleg, which was the real work. because people, you know, you tell people something for so long and then they get off of it like, ah, this is just another one of those garbage. You know, I was shocked at the support and the love that the people gave us.
Yeah.
Especially from Canada and the UK. You know, we charted at number 3 in Canada. That was pretty huge. Mm. That's from BC, Vancouver, all the way down to Toronto to make a Canada list. And so that was pretty exciting as well. You know. But, you know, it came out great. Came out great. Everybody's on deck. They rhymes just flourished. So, you know what I'm saying? So a lot to the people. Thank you for your support and love. We got more for you.
Okay. Oh, that was going to be my next question is do you guys have stuff in the tank that is yet to be leaked?
Everything else from this point is going to be fresh and brand new. We do still have a vault full of material, but probably going to mix it up again like that because it's not been heard. The people deserve to have this horseman education and this horseman information. Mm. We're going to mix it all up, new and original, put it all together like gumbo, and still get more. Like Raz said, you know, this is our final woo-wop to start our new beginning.
Oh, okay.
You know, we do have more in the works and other projects that we have planned to come out. We have surprises. We have one project called Black Steel.
Okay.
It works. Very exciting. I can't even let the cat out the bag.
Okay.
Different. You're going to hear from, you know, from this team we have. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I will give you a piece of it, though. Raz and Corrupt will be involved.
Okay.
Project. But we have other members that's going to be involved, which is going to be very different and very exciting to hear these different genres of music come together as one for this particular project, Black Steel. You're going to love it. Okay. Me and Raz got an album dropping in August. We changed it. Originally July 30th. Now we moved to August.
Okay.
We're going to drop our first real single, official single. We gave out little bits and pieces. But now we're going to launch the first actual single. We moved the date to August for the album to come out called DPG for Life.
Okay.
You're going to love it. Our first main single, me, Daz, and Snoopy, giving them some classic before we get into this new DPG. And, you know, that's exciting. You know, we loading them up with these projects, and each one of us have our solo situations, Priest, Cannabis, Raz, myself, that's going to be dropping. I have one called Transition, Jovan, HMG, and we're going to give them that to introduce this new Corrupt, this new mindset, this new mind state, this new mental place I am as an older man, as well as a seasoned artist, and hitting them with some of this new music. Music that they love and know me for, and new music that they ain't used to hearing from me.
Mm.
So, you know, hopefully this will be big. I have a new clothing line I'm coming with called Iconic Clothing.
Okay.
Iconic spelled with a K.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm finna hit them with all kinds of stuff. Next year I'll be retroing, like Michael Jordan's, the original Michael Jordan's, I'll be retroing my Moon Rocks.
That's what's up. Man.
I enjoy these imitations. I can't call them imitations. You know what I'm saying? I call them, you know, it's love because they love my work.
Yes.
They love the Moon Rock. Yes. You know, if they ain't talking about you some kind of way, or if they don't emulate you in some kind of way, you ain't doing shit. So, you know, I love it and I respect it. I tell all those with they Moon Rocks, good job.
Yeah.
You helped this brand to expand. I'm going to hit them with them real Corrupt Moon Rocks. We all going to start eating again because I'm going to make Moon Rocks again, the number one woo-wop, and get some more of these cannabis cups. Hello.
Yeah, man.
A lot of good things in the works. As you see, Snoop just dropped his new album, From Streets to the Sweets.
Yeah.
Popping him in the face with some of this original gangster shit. And got a new position at Def Jam. So
right.
Rest in peace to Nate. Everybody's striving and doing well.
That's great to hear, man. Corrupt, we thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us, man. We're
bad motherfuckers, man. This is me. Right. She just stopped. She running all over here, jumping all over the place, wanting to be in the interview. In the interview now, you wanted it, you got it. Buckwheat.
Yeah. Buckwheat, how many tracks of Detox are at Corrupt's house right now?
None.
Talk, Buckwheat.
Like Dre don't let nothing loose. And look, you got to leave your phone at the front.
Is that right?
Look, the Chronic was damn near leaked before we dropped the Chronic. Dr. Dre had enough since then. He started commandeering phones. You come in my session, no phones, you bring a camera, you got to go.
Damn.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. I was just saying that it worked well because ain't nothing else got leaked.
No, it sure hasn't. But it's good to hear somebody confirm that stuff exists.
Oh,
it's an urban legend.
Perfectionist. Dr. Dre's a perfectionist and stickler. Until he feels it's ready, you know, there's no timeline on it, and he deserves that because you know, shit, the Chronic was like 4 years old. G-Thing was 3 years old before it was released. And Dr. Dre taught us that, you know, hits are timeless. Great music is timeless. And he showed that in G-Thing. They made that to a whole different beat. Then he changed the beat. And then that's the one y'all hear. And it's been the same ever since. You know, Dr. Dre just give him his time. She's been decades since Dr. Dre came with the idea of Detox. He's still working on it. And people do, though, you're going to be happy for the long wait. Dr. Dre is the man. He does not play. And I speak for Dr. Dre, Snoop, and all of us. We love all the support throughout the years. You know what I'm saying? And we love how y'all embrace the West Coast. You know what I'm saying? Good looking for that. And I'm from Philly.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
West Coast, cause I live majority of my life there, and that's where it is. But there's still that Philly in a nigga. Philadelphia. Yes, sir.
That's what's up, Corrupt. Man, we're big fans. We want to thank you for coming on the program, man. Thanks for taking the time.
Thanks for having me. You know what I'm saying? Shouts out to Raz, Cannabis, Killer Priest. The Horseman is in the building. We got more for you. We just dropped the 1 second video, the 360 video on your phone. You can move it around while we doing our thing and see what's all around the room, top to bottom, left to right. We got a new one we finna hit y'all with. Hopefully y'all love that. We're gonna be dropping it this week. So y'all get ready for more Horsemen. It's new Dog Pound. Get that Snoop Dogg that's out right now from the streets to the suites. This Corrupt solo. Transition and get ready for this new iconic movement coming from Pentagon as a whole. My company, Pentagon Entertainment, and thanks for having me on here. Official_Corrupt is the Twitter and the Instagram. So come holler at your boy and also look at it to see what's going on next and stay updated with Gotti. Church. Damn.
Appreciate you, man.
Thank you, man.
Thank you for having me. I love y'all now.
All right. That was our conversation with Corrupt. Shout out to his cat Buckwheat for making a guest appearance. Nate, I'll ask you this. You like most breathing humans of a certain age, know all the words to Ain't No Fun. if we do a rap karaoke night in public, would you do Ain't No Fun?
Well, I have never done rap karaoke.
Nice.
Totally. I'll apologize to my wife beforehand, afterhand. I gave an F about a B.
Yeah.
Well, it's bros down, right?
Simps up, bros down.
Yeah, I mean, so I think I've told this story on the show before. I will not do like a long version of it, but I remember very distinctly like the dudes on the bus on my way to seventh grade, like essentially sexually harassing this girl, singing it to her and like putting her name in it. And like, it's not the best memory I have, but there's something so, I don't know what it is, like, it's just, it's such a great song that even though it represents everything I don't like, I still love it. I now have said it several times on this podcast. And like, I think it's like just put together. It's produced so well.
Yeah.
And like, everyone seems like they're in on the joke, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
In the wrong way.
Yeah. It's easy for us to say, you know, that's the eternal, but I do feel like back in the era when we just argued about these things on Facebook, I put out like, hey, I know a lot of like hardcore feminists, you know, who will be like, yeah, but I know all the words, ain't no fun. Like, it's complicated. Like, it's such a great song with such incendiary content. It makes me think of some of Ice Cube's more, you know, controversial joints, but it was dope to hear Corrupt kind of affirm, Nate, your assertion that that was his finest hour. I always love when rappers understand their place, right? There's a type of rapper that'll be like, no, this verse I wrote last week was my finest hour. But he's like, nah, he understands, it seems like he understands kind of his place in the culture, the reverence that is there for him, but also didn't come across as like, you know, bitter or too full of himself. You know, I think I would be a lot cockier if I knew Snoop on a Snoopy basis.
Right, totally. I mean, but now we know a Nate Dogg on a Nate Dogg basis.
Yeah, that's
I
mean, true.
We know the only living Nate Dogg is, as far as I know. But yeah, back to your point, Corrupt, so much self-awareness, you know, he's wearing sunglasses, smoking some joints, talking to us, and I'm like, Jesus, this guy cannot give a fuck. But no, he was very present and it was great. It was really great.
Yeah, no, it was a great interview. We thank him for coming on. And we just want to encourage people to check out the Four Horsemen project. I love, you know, that he is doing a project like this, that he kind of rekindled it after all this time. And it's just ahead, really. I mean, so.
Yeah. Interesting to hear that Razzcaz was the guy who like kept the flame alive and like pulled it all together.
Yeah,
wishing we could go back 2.5 years or 3 years or whenever we talked to Razzcaz on a pretty early episode and sneak in a Four Horsemen question. I wonder if that would have like
we didn't talk about it at all.
I don't think so. Okay. You know what? I haven't re-listened to that in a long time, but every time I think about it, I just remember how patient he was and how cool he was, because all we wanted to talk about was Nature of a Threat.
Totally.
It's like such our cut, and like we just had like we each had like this is before we did our current interview style, the three-man weave, and we would all just throw questions constantly and they were all about Nature of the Threat.
It was like 1864.
Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, who was the governor of Campania during the Herculaneus period?
So dope. Again, since we brought it up, I have to take credit again for telling Razzcaz that Elucid had name checked him in Nature of the Threat.
Yeah.
Cool. I'll go to my grave. That's going to be on my tombstone.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, it's just the journey of Dad Bod Rap Pod. We are excited to talk to all of these dope, you know, MCs in the game and bring you these stories, which have to be documented. I'll go back. I went to the used bookstore over the weekend. There's a book called Not Another Bob Dylan Biography.
Really?
Yes. There's a literal book called Not Another Bob Dylan Biography.
Written by Bob Dylan.
Yeah, exactly. and there was like a kid's book about sampling and making beats. And then there was something, oh gosh, I want to say it was a Ja Rule book that seemed like YA.
This is the whole hip hop section in this used bookstore?
It was just the whole, you know, it's recycled book. So it's just like the whole music biography kind of section. But point being, I feel like this culture is still underdocumented.
100.
And we are proud to have conversations like this that you can hear nowhere else except on Dad Bod Rap Pod. If you want to connect with us on the socials, you can. We are at Dadbod Rap Pod on Twitter, at Dadbod Rap Pod on Instagram. We're coming back to Facebook. You know, I've had some careful prayer and meditation sessions. I think I'm ready to re-engage with Facebook. So you can check us out there.
Record scratching sound. 6 weeks later, Damone is QAnon.
Totally, totally. So Zuckerberg fan, huh?
Yeah. George Soros is controlling hip hop. Yeah. Facebook's hella bad, but we're trying. We're trying to get out there in the world. We appreciate all of the love and support that we get. All the notes. Shout out to everybody that bought a mug. I don't know if we're done, but you can hit up Merch Engine and see if there might be a couple more mugs left under Open Mike Eagle's desk. Shout out to everybody on Stony Island Podcast Network. We're proud to roll with the Stony Island Czars. And, you know, we do this every week right here, Dadbod Rap Pod.